Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be responding to your email questions, and we'll be taking your calls. So please keep it tuned here to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome to Open Air with Cher Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Cher.
Good afternoon, Michael.
It's a beautiful day here in California.
It most certainly is.
You know, I thought the rain would never stop.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just here. I've been chasing rainy weather all over the United States for the last whatever period of time, and so I am beside myself with blue skies.
Yes, yes. It's a welcome change.
It is. It is. You know, it's those little things in life, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. And, yeah, I suppose if it were like this every day, we would stop noticing, but, oh, it's really compelling after enough weeks of gray and rain.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So what are we going to talk about today?
Let's see. I've heard a rumor that it's going to be conscious, compassionate awareness. That's funny. When I hear you say that at the beginning of the show, it's like, if we ever talk about anything else, you know, these people are not fooled by us at this point. Of course, I guess we could get themes going. You know, I'm sure you know, I'm getting ready to start a year-long email class.
Yeah.
And so, as I mentioned last week, we're going to do these 52 different kind of what I've been calling focuses, which is probably not even a word, but you know, 52 different ways to dismantle the ego, because that's what we're talking about. So it's conscious, compassionate awareness. It's all conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yeah.
But we can look at it from this, through this little window, or this, or this, or this, or this, or, you know, there's tons of ways that we can explore it, and yet it all comes down to the same thing. It's bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to our lives. So
yes,
yeah.
And to me that's a big joy, because it seems like it's always changing. There's always something different or new that I haven't seen or haven't been aware of.
And when we first see it, sometimes it can seem like, wow, this is really different. This is new. Now, this is probably like Zen practice probably doesn't encompass this. We start looking at it from the point of view of bringing conscious, compassionate awareness to every aspect. Oh, I see. that fits in with that. And it's funny, because there are all of these different, everything in life, and yet it all fits into about two large categories, which I talk about as being in center or out of center.
Yes.
So I'm either conscious or unconscious. And it's just fun.
It is fun. Mm-hmm. So if you want to call in and talk about being conscious or unconscious, give us a call at toll-free 888-514-2100. That's toll-free in the U.S. or Canada. And if you want to get in touch with us when we're not on the air, feel free to send us an email. You can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org. And as many of you know, archives of all of the shows are right here on the same website, worldtalkradio.com. And Sherry, people have been using that email address.
Oh, isn't that good?
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions, and I have some feedback on one of our homework items.
Oh, very fun.
Yeah.
Gosh, that may be a first.
Feedback on the homework.
Yeah. Well, probably not. Somebody's going to call and say, hey, I called you about my homework assignment. But it does seem like we give an awful lot of homework assignments and then hear very little back. So that's fun.
This is great.
Yeah. I mean, assuming they did the homework and it worked out well.
Well, we go. I've heard Sherry suggest many times to people who just can't make a decision to write the choices down on pieces of paper, put them in a hat, pull one out, and then do that one. This idea always struck me as risky and careless, until I did it this weekend with unexpected results. I had tentatively invited my 7-year-old goddaughter, Elizabeth, to do an overnight stay with me. But when I was supposed to confirm with her mother, I wasn't able to make a decision. My mind kept going back and forth about how tired I was. I kept putting myself in both situations, staying in bed or getting up and getting my goddaughter to my place. This back and forth then started making me feel skitsy. Then I thought about Sherry's hat trick. I was so frustrated with this indecision and seeing this as a relatively harmless situation to experiment with, I did it. I put yes, Elizabeth, and no, Elizabeth, on two different pieces of paper in my hat and mixed them up. As I pulled one out, my mind was screaming, pick no, let it be no.
Interesting, huh?
Yes. But surprise, it said yes. I was actually taken aback a bit. Someone in here was sure it was supposed to be no. Before my mind could get involved, I ran to the phone to call Elizabeth's mom to get things rolling. And bam, I was committed. And here was my experience from then on. With a plan and structure in place, and an hour before Elizabeth would be coming, I started doing projects around the house. It was as if a switch had been flipped, and I was out of bed and now active. As it turned out, my goddaughter and I had a great time. We did yoga together, watched TV, laughed a lot, ate a great dinner. In the morning, talked about what we had dreamed during sleep, and took a walk around the neighborhood. When her parents came to take her back, my mind was filled with the idea that I would have missed all that if I'd gone with the no. I've learned something deeper from this that I'm still processing, something about expectation, conditioning, breaking patterns. And I now see Sherry's hat trick as an exciting exercise that I'm looking forward to try again. Thank you from a listener.
Made my day.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, that is, I mean, there you have it. So a little bit ago when I said, you know, it all comes down to one of two things, in center, out of center.
Uh-huh.
And always no comes from out of center.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we're saying no to something in the way that the writer is describing,
yes.
You know, I'm lying there in bed, do I want to do this or do I not? And I hear, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
It's always coming from out of center.
Uh-huh.
And people will say, so, you know what, you just say yes then to everything that comes down the pike? And essentially, yeah, because and I don't know another way to say this, that, you know, that any other way would have a predestination feel to it, and that's not what I'm talking about. But if it's not for me to do, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So, you know, I would say, here comes the idea, should I invite this child over or not? Well, the idea occurred to me, so sure.
Uh-huh.
And then if that's not what's going to happen that weekend, if that's not what happens that weekend, then her parents are going to call and say she can't come over or she doesn't want to or, you know, she caught a cold or any number of things that can happen.
Yes.
But the no is so it doesn't mean that everything that we say yes to is going to happen, but sometimes what we're saying yes to is no.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sometimes what we're saying yes to is no.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm perfectly, absolutely, utterly willing to do whatever, and it's just not happening.
Uh-huh.
So I can say yes to that. Nope, it's not happening.
Yes,
I can accept that.
Yes.
But the no is not coming from my conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
And the yes is not coming from my conditioned mind. So it's not, well, you should. Well, if, you know, if you were a spiritual, anytime we start hearing that, it,
yeah.
You know, then we need to grab the old hat and and let life decide for us what we're going to, you know, how that decision is going to be made.
Uh-huh. Wonderful.
Yeah. And it's fun because sometimes, you know, you put those in the hat and you pull them out and the answer is no, and you just feel this great disappointment.
Uh-huh.
know. So then that's an interesting one to sit with.
Yeah.
So then I really did want her to come over. I'm really disappointed. Okay, well then I'm going to go with, all right, I want her to come over.
Yeah.
And then probably conditioned mind will kick in and say, wait a minute, no, you don't feel like it. And it's really finding our way through that mess of conflicting information that is what conscious compassionate awareness is about.
Uh-huh.
Because ultimately, it doesn't matter. All that matters in terms of our well-being is whether or not we're at center.
Uh-huh.
There's no right answer about what I should be doing or shouldn't be doing. There's no right answer.
Yeah.
So I can even say no and be disappointed and say yes to the disappointment.
Yes. Yes. So the only thing with respect to our well-being is whether we're at center or not.
Yes. Which is in conscious compassionate awareness, in that sense of well-being, knowing, not turning over our experience of life to conditioned mind, to its world of duality with its, if it goes this way, then that's good. If it goes that way, then that's bad. You know, if you do this, you're a good person. If you do that, you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do this. You shouldn't do that. That's not okay. Anytime we're in that world, we're going to be suffering, no matter, even if I'm doing everything those conditioned voices tell me to do, I'm still in suffering.
Uh-huh.
But when I'm at center, even if the conditioned voices are going crazy and saying, you're making a mistake, this isn't right, this isn't okay, it actually doesn't matter.
Because
I'm in center, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because those voices are just going on, and
just
you're not engaged with them.
Yeah, like a bad television station.
Great. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Our number here, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, is 888-514-2100. So feel free to give us a call, and we'd love to talk with you. And, Sherry, we have a caller here.
That's very good news.
I'd like to welcome Celia in Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry and Michael. You're very faint on the telephone.
Oh, dear.
Oh,
we're
back.
We're very robust and strong here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Is that any better?
Yes.
Oh, good.
It is better.
Oh, excellent. How are you?
I'm well.
Good.
Other than a bad cold that's hanging on for weeks, that I'm good.
Well, that seems to be just what people are sharing this winter, isn't it?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, most everybody I talk to who gets a cold reports that that's the one they get, the one that hangs on forever.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and it turns into a cough, and then you get up too soon, and then you get sick.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, we have one mind, and we also have one body, clearly,
yes.
And that one body is sharing a cold.
Yes. Well, that makes me feel a little better, actually.
Yes. It's Sangha. We're in it together.
Right.
Yep.
Well, Sherry, I'm calling today with a question about my sitting.
Mm-hmm.
When I started sitting, I was breathing out with a slight emphasis on pulling my belly in. And then a few weeks ago, I decided that I would try breathing without any controlling of my breath at all.
Ooh, very good.
Oh, good.
Very good decision.
Good. Well, that's one thing I'm glad
yeah.
to hear. And then
because that kind of breathing is what yoga will teach you, but it's actually not what Zen meditation will teach you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what I found when I started doing this is my breath is just so shallow. I have this little tiny shallow breath that, as a matter of fact, I find it a little bit scary to sit there
when you're breathing. When you're not controlling it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if you have some advice about how to work with this.
I do. And
I thought you might.
You thought I'd have an opinion on this. What I would encourage you to do is pay really close attention to your breath. And what that feels like initially, it's very difficult in the beginning to pay attention to without controlling.
Mm-hmm.
Because attention is, and now, of course, you're doing a sitting practice, so you know, you didn't just start this last week. Still, attention very often is in the camp of conditioned mind. So when attention gets turned towards something, it's like an on switch for conditioned mind. Now, conditioned mind is going to be in charge of whatever attention has been turned to. You with me?
Yeah.
So that's why if you, you know, here's a person going along and all of a sudden they think, oh, meditation, I keep hearing about that. You know, I think I'll take that up. I think I'll start meditating. Boom. The attention goes to that, conditioned mind says, okay, got it. We're going to meditate now. And it moves into that, I'll take control of this, as it does with everything in our lives, until we disconnect those two features. Attention actually doesn't belong to conditioned mind. Attention doesn't is not control, has nothing to do with it, with control. So what you'll be learning is to turn your attention to your breath and drop the control, which is one of the reasons that we do this breathing in as relaxed a fashion as possible. Because when there's tension, it's sending signals to conditioned mind that there's something to do. There's something wrong, something needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when the body is completely relaxed, in theory, there aren't signals going to conditioned mind that says, you know, you need to take care of whatever this situation is. Everything is just relaxed. So you get a relaxed body and you get a relaxed mind. And as you just attend to the breath, not making anything happen, but noticing what happens, you'll notice that sometimes the breaths are shallow, sometimes they're deeper, sometimes it'll be a shallow inhalation and a long exhalation, sometimes the reverse of that, and you're just noticing and letting the body move into a breathing that is comfortable for it. And as you do that, you will naturally begin to have deeper and deeper breaths, but you're not making them be deep.
Uh-huh.
So meditators who aren't controlling their breath tend to breathe very slowly.
Uh-huh.
Just because that's what the body does. When the body is relaxed, it tends to take long, deep breaths. But we're not trying to make it get there. We're just learning to relax into that natural state.
Mm-hmm. I guess I had wondered, this is I feel sort of like my chest is very tense and kind of collapsed. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that all of my adult life.
And do you, when you're sitting, do you try to bring consciousness to your sternum, making sure that it's up and forward?
I do, and then it'll sink down.
Yes.
And then, you know, I'll realize that that's happened, and
yep.
So I'll gently sit up a little taller.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Okay.
I would encourage you to do that as you're going around in life.
Yeah.
When you realize that you're kind of collapsed, then you bring conscious awareness to it. And it's not you're not using tension to prop yourself up. Okay. What you're doing is moving into the meditation posture. So I'm doing it right here in my chair. So it's lifting the sternum up and slightly forward, and that causes the shoulder blades to kind of move down the back and the shoulders drop. And when the chin tucks just slightly, it balances your head over your shoulders.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So it has that weightless feeling, and you're relaxing especially with the exhalation. You know, you're relaxing. You're training your body not to carry tension.
Mm-hmm. Even when I sit in that position, I feel like when I take a breath, when my breath moves in, that it comes up against my sternum and kind of stops.
Well, one of the things that you can do then is to bring attention to breathing into your back.
Oh, uh-huh.
So now instead of just breathing into, and we're not really talking about belly breathing.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole torso breathing.
Uh-huh.
So as you're doing that, when you breathe in, imagine that your whole torso is just expanding out.
Okay.
Now, when I'm sitting here doing that, so there's the exhalation, and I take a breath in, it feels like my whole body expands like 2 inches, my whole torso,
mm-hmm.
from my hips all the way to the tops of my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
All around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know
yeah.
what's actually happening, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
So you can be practicing that. You can especially practice that when you're not sitting on the cushion.
But isn't that kind of controlling my breath?
Well, that's why I say to practice it when you're not on the cushion.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what enables your body to develop a habit of that posture and that relaxation and that expanded breath. And then when you're sitting on the cushion, that becomes natural. Instead of what you've got now is habitual, not natural.
Uh-huh.
And that's that collapsed, you know, feeling like it's running into your sternum. And then, of course, that can tend to make a person feel like, you know, if I don't control my breath, I'm not going to breathe.
Right.
And that's really scary, as you've noticed.
Right.
Yeah. So practice that as you're walking around, as you're standing, just noticing what your body is doing and bringing that conscious awareness to it. So that and doing it again without tensing any muscles, the checking your posture and balancing your posture is without tension.
Okay. So you don't think that I have something wrong with my sternum that I just can't breathe properly?
No, I think that's probably unlikely, except unless you count habit.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Because most of us have those kinds of habits that we have to overcome.
Uh-huh.
You know, the body has just been left alone for so darn long, and it's learned to do all sorts of shaky things.
Uh-huh.
And now we're bringing conscious awareness and relaxation and comfort to it, and it's got to let go of those old habits.
Mm-hmm. You know, the funny thing is that I've been doing yoga for years and years and years. So when I stopped controlling the breath and I found this shallow, shallow breath, I was astonished.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, now, you know, I have a rather paranoid approach to all of this.
Yeah.
And so I would not be surprised at all if the shallowness of the breath is not simply conditioning, exerting its control to get you to go unconscious, to get you to be afraid.
Huh.
Because if you learn to just allow your body to relax completely, and your breath deepens and fills your body and everything, you know, improves, that's not necessarily good news for conditioning.
Yeah.
Because conditioning gets a lot of mileage out of controlling everything about you, and your breath is only part of that.
Uh-huh. Wow. Okay.
Let us know.
Thank you.
Report back, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because this is big.
Yeah. It
mm-hmm.
feels very big to me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, breathing, you know, it's big for a body.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
Oh, good night.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us, Celia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're at the end of our first segment here, so keep it tuned, and we'll be back with you in just a couple minutes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, and we'll be continuing this conversation in our next segment of Open Air with Sherry Huber. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today. That was an interesting call, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it, that meditation or sitting practice is just the absolute foundation of the awareness practice that we do, and we spend very little time actually talking about it.
Uh-huh.
So it's fun to get a chance to look at those kinds of issues with a meditator and explore things from that very basic, and I don't mean anything other than foundation.
Yes.
Level. Because if we go with the idea of how you do anything is how you do everything, we can learn everything that we want or need to know about ourselves just from our meditation practice.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the caller was looking at, you know,
yeah.
Those kinds of habits that are in the body and the attention and awareness that we bring to those habits and how we are with ourselves as we move through them, that's how we do it with everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good.
Yeah, it's fascinating to look at those details. Sherry, we have another caller.
Well, who is this?
It's David from Sonora. I'd like to welcome you to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, David.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. You?
I have a question about finding center. I'm not sure that, in my experience, I've ever encountered center in any of my sitting. Can you say something about that?
And what do you think center is? And the reason that I'm asking you that is because that's not possible. So it's, there's some idea that you have of what center is that keeps it outside your experience?
I'm not sure that I could tell you what I image it as being, but when I hear you speak of it, it doesn't seem to correspond to any experience that I've had, so I'm not so sure that I have an image of what it is so much as hearing somebody else speaking about it and saying that I don't find that common to my experience.
And perhaps not when you're sitting, but when you're walking around in life, do you ever have a sense of well-being?
No.
Never?
Never.
What is your primary experience?
There's a one or more voices inside of me continuously speaking to me. And my body, if I had a description of it, it would be that my body is very tense, and it's as if everything is listening to that voice.
Mm.
That voice is all that there is.
There
isn't anything outside of that.
And literally, the voices seem to be there to drown out.
Yes.
Any awareness of anything else. So you're not going to be allowed to have a moment of silence, a moment of peace, a moment of respite from that onslaught.
That's what I've found over the years in my sitting. And
how in the world have you found the willingness to continue to sit?
Something inside of me says whatever's going on isn't right. And so there's a search.
So there's something letting you know that there is more to life than those voices haranguing at you.
Yes.
And that information that comes through, does it feel like it's on your side or is it another voice?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would like to be able to say that it's on my side, but it appears as a voice, but yet there's something that seems to be beneath the voice.
Do you feel heartened or encouraged that it has that perspective?
No.
So it's just another voice driving you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But yet, as I say, there's something else underneath which says there's something not quite right here.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to use the expression that there is something wrong with me, because that leads to a whole other conversation, but yet there's something that says there's something way out of whack.
That you're having the kind of life experience that you're having.
Yes.
Now, isn't that interesting? Because as you know, there are two places that information could be coming from. It could be saying, now wait a minute, you know, you're a decent human being. For God's sake, you even meditate. So there's something amiss here that you are being assaulted like this all the time. Okay? Or the information, so that would sort of be on your side, right? There has to be more to it than this.
Yes.
Yeah. But then the other way of looking at it is that here you are doing this, and the fact that these voices are still here is proof that there's something amiss, and I'm afraid it's you.
It's probably not the latter. It's more like the former.
Uh-huh.
But there is definitely something that says the voices are still there, something's still out of whack.
Uh-huh. That if you were okay, those voices would have gone away. Or at least you wouldn't be so troubled by them, so consumed.
Yeah, I have to be careful with this because the voices don't say there's something wrong with you. It's not that.
No, what the voices are saying is there's something wrong with the voices.
There's something out of whack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is a funny place because that's the one that I don't know that this is true, but I suspect that it's true, that conditioned mind has positioned itself to oppose conditioned mind. So there are the voices hounding you all the time, and then there's another set of voices saying, you know, those voices shouldn't be hounding you all the time.
I'm not quite sure that it's like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there are a set of voices that do hound me on the other side, but again, there's something beneath that.
Mm-hmm.
Beneath that set of voices, that's more.
Okay, now here's the one that as you probably know, I'm going to ask you to consider.
Sure.
That all the time that I've been asking you these questions, there has been something there looking and responding.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. The intelligence, the awareness that looks, that observes.
Yes.
Not coming from conditioned mind. Okay, it is observing conditioned mind. That's who you are. And I would suggest that those voices are there to try to keep you from realizing that.
I would suspect that that's the case, but I'm still not sure that I know how to move into that place of being with what you've just said.
Okay, then let me give you a little exercise, okay? And then
yes.
we can talk again, and you can tell me how this exercise did.
All right.
Okay, so you're sitting there right now, or standing,
sitting.
And you're watching your side of this conversation. You're aware of this side of your side of the conversation.
Okay.
And then when I talk, you're aware. Are you aware of listening to my voice and the words that I'm saying?
Yes.
Your attention is on my voice when I'm talking.
Yes.
Okay. Now your attention is moving back and forth to what's going on with you, and then what it is that I'm saying. Okay. And then on occasion, your attention moves to perhaps a conversation that you're having inside your head. Okay, well, I don't know if that's really it, or now that wasn't what I really meant, or that kind of thing. You have any of that going on?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So that's your attention moving from thing to thing to thing. At some point, it may actually move to your position that you're sitting in, or it may move to something that goes on outside the room. Or
yeah.
So the attention is flitting around.
Yes.
Yeah? All right. Now, that attention is moving around in the field of awareness. So you can be sitting there. Are you sitting?
Yes.
Okay, good. I can quit saying or standing. So you're sitting there, and you're aware of the room that you're in. You're aware of the things that are around you. Your attention is moving from thing to thing. It may be attending to what's going on inside your head. It may be attending to my voice coming through that you're listening to. So there's the attention moving in the field of awareness. And that field of awareness is what enables you to know what's going on. Because your attention by itself would not give you that information. So, for instance, if you're in a dark room and you turn your flashlight on and you put your flashlight from thing to thing to thing, that's like attention.
Okay.
When you turn the lights up, now it's true in the dark too, but it's just harder to imagine. You turn the lights up and then you're aware of much more than the pinpoint of that flashlight going from thing to thing to thing.
Right.
Okay. Now, without attention, you cannot be aware of awareness. Not strictly true, but for the sake of this little exercise, okay? That you're using attention to be aware of awareness. So attention is going along, looking at things. You can move it to your foot or to your ear or to something that's going on inside your head. And you're moving that attention around, and you're aware of it because of awareness. And that very attention can be attending to awareness. Okay? And that's what I would like for you to play with for the next whatever period of time. You can do it when you're walking around, and you can certainly do it when you're sitting.
So if I understand what you're suggesting, it's just following the movement of attention in the sphere of awareness.
That is correct. And noticing how sometimes you're aware of attention moving around from thing to thing to thing.
Yes.
Now that's how you get fixated on those voices. That's how they keep you in this position that they've got you in, because they capture your attention and your awareness.
Yeah, I've been working with that in sitting.
Yep. Exactly so. That's very good.
And it seems that the attention almost gives energy to the voices.
Exactly. That is exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
And as you move your attention away from the voices and bring it back to, say, the breath,
yes,
there's nothing maintaining the voices, which is why they start screaming louder and louder and louder to try to get your attention back.
And so, I always seem to give in to them.
Oh, we're trained to from such an early age.
That's an interesting phrase in itself. I always give over to my voices. What is it that gives over to the voices?
Precisely. Now, of course, I would call that egocentric karmic conditioning,
yes,
conditioned mind, the illusion of a separate self. Okay, and what's missing from this is your sense of authenticity. And what I'm suggesting to you is that your experience of authenticity, of your essential nature, is what is enabling all of this to happen. Okay? So your mind operates. You can plan, you can think, you can remember, you can create. But what is it that is the container for that? What's the vehicle for that? Okay? I would call that intelligence or consciousness or awareness. Okay? There's the content, planning, thinking, creating, imagining, and there's the context or the vehicle, and that the process. You with me?
I'm sort of with you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sitting here trying to experience the vehicle.
Yes.
My
well,
body.
You see, that's exactly it.
And everything is going on inside of it.
That's exactly right. Only that's the part we don't attend to, right?
Yes.
So there you are. Now, unless you started to lose your mind, you're not aware of the process of intelligence. Okay, you're not aware of the process of conscious awareness. It's just there. It's like air. Nobody, you know, we don't attend to air until we don't have any. Okay, you're walking around in a room. You're not saying, oh, a lot of air in here. Okay?
Yeah.
But it's there, or you wouldn't be walking around. So what you're looking for is the thing that's making all of this happen outside your attention.
That I don't understand.
Okay, so you're looking for the vehicle that is enabling those voices to harangue you, for you to be in reaction to them, okay?
Yeah.
That's happening because of conscious awareness.
Okay.
It's happening because of the relationship between attention and awareness. But you're not attending to the attention or the awareness because you're completely distracted by the content.
Yes.
The haranguing and the feeling bad and the trying to get away from it and then attending to it. And okay, that attention and awareness are you, and they are yours. Okay, the only reason that those voices get them is because you have a habit of giving them over when the voices get loud enough. You can bring your attention back and attend to awareness. You can identify with awareness and watch your attention. They can sit and be together, okay, like a mother and a child, like two mirrors facing one another. Okay, and there's no content at all required for them to be in that relationship.
This is a lot to for me to bite off because of the habitual patterns.
That is exactly right. And here's the good news, as Michael will tell us when this is over, this is being archived. Okay? And what you might do is go to that archive.
Yes.
And listen to it again. Listen to it again.
Yep. Okay?
Take it in little tiny chunks. Practice with it. You know, get another little chunk. Practice with it until all of a sudden there's that moment where there's nothing happening except attention, attending to awareness, and awareness being aware of attention. You go, ah, got it. Now the relationship is complete. You do not need to give up that relationship in order to give your awareness and attention to those haranguing voices.
It's going to take some time, I suspect.
Not as much time as they would like. Those voices would like you to believe.
Well, it's been a long time coming to just where I've been able to come to.
Don't fall for it.
No. I'm not. I hear what you're saying.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll don't. They would like you to believe you're probably going to die before you get this.
Well, there is a voice that says that. But,
yes, it's going to take you a shockingly short period of time to get this.
Really?
Yep. And the other thing that I would suggest is that you, have you ever done a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat with us?
No.
You might avail yourself of that opportunity.
I haven't been healthy enough to be able to do that.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, then get healthy. We can see you there.
The voice has pretty well led me to a very, very unhealthy place.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, let's work on turning that around, all right?
All right. Thank you very much, Sherry.
And let me know what you find out. This is a progression. So start here. We go along. We work. Okay? So we get to full health.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you for joining us, David. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. It's another fascinating show. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we're going to be back for our last segment in just a few minutes. To Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Keep it tuned here for our final segment of today's show. We'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray.
Sherry. I'm finding this show quite fascinating.
It's good, huh? We have a lot of, this is our show on sitting meditation.
Fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. It's great. The whole idea of attention and awareness and that relationship is really fascinating to me.
Yes, it is. It's so essential to our being, and we are trained not to notice it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It's big.
It's big. And I'm going to take your suggestion and go back to the archives and listen again.
Yeah. Because, in talking with David, now I know, of course, that David has actually spent quite a lot of time at Center because, well, number one, he's a human being, and Center is our authentic nature. So we can't get very far away from it, although something like the voices can certainly make us think or feel like we're very separate from it.
Yeah.
And, of course, the second part of that is he's a meditator. So I know he spends more time there than the average bear. And if we are not trained to see what's going on and all we have is the voices to tell us, this is this, and that's that, and that's what that means, and that's why that's happening. Our conditioning is to believe them, and then we can get into that place of thinking, you know, well, I'm never at Center. I've never been there, which is why that I'm sure there are other examples of this. But that little thing about the guy who's looking for his glasses and he can't find them,
yes,
but they're on his face, and the reason that he can look for them is that they're on his face. That little story is so. It's so perfect for it because what we're looking for is what we are using to look.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That intelligence, that awareness, that attention is what we are using to do all of this. Without it, there wouldn't be any voices. There wouldn't be an ability to perceive the voices. There wouldn't be the ability to experience ourselves at all.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And yet, it's so fundamental that it doesn't occur to us.
Yes.
That could be it.
Yes.
So it's that hide in plain sight business.
Yes.
You know, nobody thinks of it because, well, it's just nothing.
Yes.
Attention and awareness. Well, that's nothing. It's the content of your attention. It's the content of your awareness. That's what people are trained to focus on. And
yeah.
So because of that, and, I would talk about that as delusion, because of that delusion, then the very thing that we are attempting to experience, to understand, to recognize, to realize, remains unavailable to us.
Uh-huh.
Because we're looking right at it, not recognizing it, because we think that we're looking for something else.
Yeah.
So people will do this practice, and they will say, often people say to me, but it can't be that simple. Well, why? Why can't it be that simple? That's the perfect hiding place. People just, they have an awareness, they get something, and they go, yeah, but that can't be it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is it. It is that simple. That's right. That's it. It's your relationship between attention and awareness. Not the content of attention and awareness. Attention and awareness as process.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Fascinating. Sherry, we have just a couple minutes left, and we have a caller here. I'd like to welcome Nancy from Washington. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
I'm calling as to practice.
Oh, good.
I figured it was time to call in because sometimes I can just sit and it's like my mind blanks out and I feel like that there's no action, nothing happening. So I'm going to take action and talk to you.
Very good. And the voices would just as soon you didn't.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, don't do that. We're fine. We're just on our own.
It feels like sometimes they will cause a paralysis.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So what's going on besides that?
Well, basically that's it. I just wanted to call and tell you how much I am enjoying the show. This is the first time I caught it live, and I listened to the archives. So this has been very, very dynamic for me to listen to the callers live.
So we could say that you're calling in to kind of light a fire under your practice.
Exactly.
To get into this dynamic space of in the moment.
Right. Uh-huh. Rather than the passive, I'll go, 3 days later and pick up the show, and I can just sit here and kind of zone out, listen, and zone out, listen, zone out. And this is, to me, is very much different. I feel very involved.
Yeah, and it's the reason to be involved with a sitting group, too, or
exactly.
to come to a retreat or a workshop or that sort of thing, because it's just the energy is so different, isn't it? When it's,
yes, it is.
Yeah, when it's happening right now. Now, it's not like conditioned mind isn't still going to try to get us to zone out whenever possible, but there's so much more, it's compelling. There's so much more influencing us to be here and to stay present when it's live, which I'm convinced is the reason that people get so addicted to television.
Right.
Because it's dead. It's dead. It's something that happened. It's put in a can. You bring it out, and there's just nothing alive about it. And that's
exactly.
where it puts our brain and our mind is into that dead place. But when it's here and now, there's an immediacy that engages us, and that's really where we want to keep our practice.
Right, and that I can see that as I'm sitting at times. It is such a struggle, or someone feels it's such a struggle not to do that zone-out thing. And there are some times that my sitting meditation will just, I'll be 20 minutes into it, and I that's all I've been doing is the zone.
You just slept through it.
Pardon me?
You just slept through it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so now, just to bring that immediacy to it, that's all. Not I'm going to achieve anything great. I'm not going to, just this little simple exercise that we've been talking about tonight.
Yes.
Being with the
it's
breath,
helpful.
Attending to attention and awareness, seeing the relationship between, seeing how the intelligence of a human being interacting with life happens. Pretty
yes.
interesting.
It is very interesting.
Yeah. Good. Are you going to join us next week?
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Now you just gather a small group of people together, and then it'll be a sitting group, and you can all listen together and then meditate together.
Well, that's a very good idea.
Good. I'm hoping people will take up that idea all over the world.
Good.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You've been listening to another edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's a fascinating show, Sherry.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. Let's do it again next week.
I'm game if you are.
I'm game.
All right.
Talk
Thanks, Michael.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.